Sinead O'Connor is our guest as our World Cafe Week at the Warhol continues. Her latest album, Theology, was recorded in two parts, one quiet part in Dublin and the other more produced in London. There is no denying Sinead's voice and passion. At a young age, her cover of the Prince song, Nothing Compares to You, put her at the top of the charts. Her ripping the Pope's picture on Saturday Night Live is the indelible image of her controversial activism. Her latest albums have been interesting, a collection of reggae covers recorded in Kingston, an Irish traditional album, and her latest, which is a prayer for peace. We'll find out how they are connected. Our session begins with this performance of Something Beautiful, a song from Theology, Sinead O'Connor.
Or made her ornaments. Yet my people, forgotten me. Days without number, days without number, and in their want, oh, in their want, and in their want.
Gorgeous version of Something Beautiful, which is the song that begins Theology. And the album has been, you've described it as somewhat of a response to when one says 9/11, one understands that 9/11 is a moment in time and everything that has happened since then is all can be encompassed in that. And there's been many artistic responses to that, but you kind of chose prayer. And talk about that a little bit. Why?
Well, I suppose I chose theology, really, because really, when I look around and see what's happening, I see that it's happening because of how a very few people interpret particular sets of theologies. And in particular, I guess, there's this perpetuation of the idea on all sides that somehow God supports the use of violence as a means of sorting things out. And I passionately disagree. So I suppose the object of my game was to lift from scriptures things which would show the opposite actually to be true and in a way, what's the word? Well, you know, I always think if God were here, he, she, or it would be suing a lot of people for libel, you know?
So it's kind of small R religion. You're not a big fan of organized religion.
I am actually. I love religion a lot. Like, I've studied a lot of religion all my life, and I love it. There's things I love about it, obviously, but there are things about it I don't like, just as there are things about myself I don't like. You know, we all have things even about ourselves we don't like, but I would say that God and religion are two different things, you know?
You know, I'm listening to your work on the Irish album, the reggae album, and this. Is there a relationship between those albums? I'm particularly thinking of the reggae album in this.
Yeah, and I would actually say there's a relationship between this and Seán Nó Síneadh, which is the Irish album. I guess, again, as an Irish person, once you tackle the Irish traditional songs, they're of such a level that there's nowhere else to go than into spiritual songs. Actually, you're never going to go back to pop songs as such once you've delved into that stuff. So the Seán Nó Síneadh was really the kickstarter into the other stuff, yeah. And I guess I feel I wanted to come out of the rock and pop arena to a certain extent also, and I wanted to kind of make a life for myself in a different arena, which would be, you know, I think in America you label it best as calling it an inspirational arena, you know. So the Rasta record would have been the first in that arena, so.
Are there any songs from your past that, because you can interpret a lot of them as being inspirational songs in a way.
Some of them, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're more comfortable with a break between the pop world and this.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'd be stupid if I was trying to tell myself that I didn't have some part of me in the pop arena, because I do, you know what I mean? But I guess I want to pretend, even in my own mind, that I'm more focused in the other one, do you know what I mean? So,
you know, something I noticed in listening to these songs live, a lot of religious music has the repetition, the drone, and you have a lot of songs that go back, circle around certain chord structures.
That's because I only know two chords.
Oh, come on.
No, it is.
I was going to give you some really great reason for doing that.
No. You know what it is? If you have a capo, you can get through five or six albums. No problem. I probably know about four or five chords.
Well, so much for that. My highfalutin reason for that. First time, the reggae album was obviously all covers, and there are a few covers on this, but you're writing What was it like to write again? To write for these?
It was lovely, you know. It's nice to write stuff like this, like, because you're not really writing about yourself. I mean, you are obviously partly, even your choice of material is about yourself, but, you know, that's very deep inside yourself in the case of stuff like this. Like, earlier stuff, you know, is very much about me and what's going on in my mind, and well, which is great and everything, but, you know, I like it better in a way, writing outside of my personality.
Well, why don't you do another one of yours?
Cool. Right? Okay. So this is a song which is based around the book of Isaiah. I kind of like the books of the prophets because they, although they're written a long, long time ago, they seem to be just as relevant in our times as they were in the times they were written. So this is from a section of Isaiah where the God character speaks to two warring factions in Israel. And I will make this joke only once more because I made it the other night. My friends will laugh if I repeat it, but I used to dedicate this song to the Israelis and the Palestinians, but now I'm going to dedicate it to the Palestinians and the Palestinians. If you had a vineyard on a fruitful hill and you fenced it and cleared it of all stones until you planted it with the choicest of vine, and you even built a tower and a press to make wine, and you looked that it would bring forth sweet grapes, and it gave only wild grapes. What would you say, Jerusalem and Judah? You be the judges. Between me and my vineyard, this is what God said. What more could I have done in it that I did not do in it? Why, when I it for sweetness, it brings only bitterness. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is a house of Israel. Pleasant plant, and he looks for justice, but beholds oppression, and he hopes for equality, but hears a cry. Jerusalem and Judah, this is God's reply. Sadness will come to those who build house to house and lay field to field till there's room for none but you to dwell in the land, oh, in the land. And sadness will come to those who call evil good and good evil, who present darkness as light and light as darkness, who present as sweet only the things which are bitterness. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is a
of Israel and the men of Judah. His pleasant plant, oh, his pleasant plant, oh, that my eyes were a fountain of tears, that I might weep for my poor people. For every boot stamped with fierceness, for every cloak rolled in blood, Jerusalem and Judah, I'd cry if I could. Oh, that my eyes were a fountain of tears, I might weep for my poor people. Oh, that my eyes were a fountain of tears, I might weep for my poor
people. Sinead O'Connor is playing live for us today on the World Cafe, and we would be remiss if you didn't introduce these fine people playing with
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. This is Caroline Dale, who plays cello. And this is Bill Shanley playing guitar.
I was looking on your website, and there's a copy of a letter to the editor you sent in response to an article. And it got me thinking, and I can't, this isn't all original thinking, I have my wife to thank for a lot of this, which is not unusual. her whole theory is that the society at large does not like outspoken people, and more than outspoken people, they have real problems with outspoken women. And I have to think that whatever has happened in your life, that you seem to be kind of vilified for being an outspoken woman. And I'd just love to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's funny, because I think there's something else to it, too.
Yeah.
No, because I think there's something else to it, because I notice when I look around, you know, like Britney Spears and Paris Hilton and me and in England. No, I'm not comparing myself at all in any way, but I mean is there's something in common. There's another lady in England called Paula Yates who's dead now, largely because of the effect of media treatment of her, and myself included. I notice that it's not just women, it's small women, actually. You know, no, it is, and I think that's very important, because a bigger woman would come around and break your face. You know, they go after the women that they know are not going to come round to them. Do you know what I mean? And that's what I think it's about, basically.
So we need more outspoken large women.
No, see, that's the thing. I think it's acceptable, actually, for a large woman to be outspoken. But little women are meant to sit there looking pretty and, you know, this and the other. But I do think there's a certain element of... it's actual bullying, really. I mean, Britney Spears, I think, is a great example. Like, she's just being bullied, basically. But it's because they know that the nature of her is that she's not going to come around to the editor's office with a pile of dead meat, which one artist did, a male artist did in England years ago, and NME wrote something awful about him. He got a big bag of offal and came around and dumped it on the editor's desk. But see, a little woman isn't going to do a thing like that, you know?
Don't give people ideas. It could be happening all over the place.
Yeah, so we can get Britney organized.
I'd like to find out a little bit about how you decided what to what other songs to include and what covers to choose, because there's the song from Jesus Christ Superstar, and there's Rivers of Babylon, which kind of makes sense. And then there's this fabulous Curtis Mayfield song. Now, how did that fit in?
Well, gosh, I'm mad about Curtis, obviously. I was saying earlier, you know, I like the books of the prophets partly because they were written thousands of years ago and apply to nowadays. And I think Curtis has a drop of that kind of blood in him, that he was writing things that were very political as such for his time, but are very relevant in our times. But he's also, I like the theology of that song, actually, the subtext theology of the song is again ahead of his time in some ways, because it's making the point that we're all one, actually, within 3 minutes. Do you know what I mean? And it's also really a song about self-esteem, and he was very tuned into the effects of racism upon people, which is really on their self-esteem. But as an Irish Catholic, you know, we were taught when we were little, I hope no one gets upset about this, but we were taught that to be a good Catholic, you had to think you were a terrible person. You know what I mean? The worse you thought you were, the better a Catholic you were, basically. And so Curtis, to me, is talking also to people who can be affected self-esteem-wise, not just by racism, but by all kinds of isms, basically. So.
Well, it's a great choice, and it fits in really well. Can you do that one?
Yeah. I think I can just about play it. I work very hard. We people who are darker than blue, don't let us hang around this town and let what others say come true. We're just good for nothing, they'll figure. A boyish grown-up, shiftless chiser. Now we can hardly stand for that, or is that really where it's at? We people who are darker than blue, we've got no time for segregating. I'm talking about brown and yellow too. Ah, yeah, white girl, can't you tell? I'm just the surface of our dark, deep well. If your mind could really see, you'd know your color, same as me. Pardon me, brother, as you stand in your glory. I know you won't mind if I tell the whole story. Now I know we have great respect for the sister and the mother. It's even better yet. But there's the joker in the street, loving one brother and killing the other. When the time comes and we are really free, there'll be no brothers left to see. We people who are darker than blue, don't let us hang around this town and let what others say come true. We're just good for nothing, they all figure. I'm boyish.
foolish grown up, shiftless gizzard. Now we can hardly stand for that, or is that really where it's at?
Sinead O'Connor on the World Cafe. How'd you figure out what to substitute for the N-word?
The N-word was never in there. Curtis is not stupid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The N-word was never in there, actually.
That's right.
In fact, he recorded this song probably 15 or 20 times in his life, different versions, and he never, ever used the N-word. Different words for, you know, depending.
Jigger, I remember.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for this music, and thanks for being
cool.
here.
Cool, thank you.
Real pleasure. Sinead O'Connor on the World Cafe.